Hi, everyone, and welcome to Global Perspectives on Migration and Food Security. I'm your host, Maria Salamone, and today we're exploring a crucial issue that has deeply impacted millions during the COVID-19 pandemic. The intersection of migration, precarity, and food insecurity, with a focus on Zimbabwean migrants in South Africa. Joining me is Jonathan Crush, an expert in migration studies, and we'll also be discussing the significant contributions of Godfrey Tawadzera, co-author of the research we'll be referencing today. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Maria. It's a pleasure to be here. The topic we're discussing today is critical, especially as we continue to see the long-term effects of the pandemic on vulnerable populations.
Today, we'll not only talk about the challenges faced by Zimbabwean migrants, but also examine how the pandemic exacerbated issues like food insecurity. Let's get started. Jonathan, to set the stage, could you explain what precarity means, especially in the context of migration?
Of course. Precarity refers to a condition of life without security or predictability, particularly in terms of employment, housing, and legal status. For migrants, this often means living under the constant threat of job loss, deportation, or exploitation. The concept has evolved significantly over the past two decades, especially as migration patterns have changed. Originally, it described the unstable conditions faced by migrants in developed countries, but in the global south, where informal economies are predominant, precarity is even more pervasive and multifaceted.
That's a great explanation. How does this concept apply to South-South migration, particularly between Zimbabwe and South Africa?
In South-South migration, precarity takes on several distinct characteristics. For Zimbabwean migrants in South Africa, precariousness is not just about employment, but also about living in a state of legal and social limbo. Many migrants work in the informal sector, which accounts for over 50% of non-agricultural employment in South Africa. This sector is characterized by low wages, lack of social protections, and high turnover, making life extremely unpredictable for these individuals.
Jonathan, what were some of the other challenges Zimbabwean migrants faced before the pandemic? And how did the COVID-19 pandemic impact this already precarious situation?
Well, before the pandemic, many Zimbabwean migrants were already dealing with significant challenges, including exclusion from formal labor markets, legal uncertainties, and frequent xenophobic violence. These challenges only intensified during the pandemic. The pandemic significantly worsened the precarious conditions that Zimbabwean migrants were already facing. Before the pandemic, these migrants were vulnerable due to their informal employment and lack of access to social services. During the pandemic, many lost their jobs, as lockdowns led to a near-total shutdown of the informal sector. The result was a sharp increase in food insecurity and an inability to send remittances back to their families in Zimbabwe.
Let's chat more about the Zimbabwean migrant experience in South Africa. Jonathan, the report you co-authored with Godfrey Tawadzera includes a detailed survey of Zimbabwean migrant households in Cape Town and Johannesburg. Can you share some key insights from this research?
Of course, Maria. The survey, conducted in July and August 2021, revealed the extent of the pandemic's impact on Zimbabwean migrant households. For example, nearly 90% of households reported a loss of income due to the pandemic, and over 70% experienced unemployment. This loss of income directly translated into severe food insecurity. We found that 83% of these households were food insecure during the pandemic, and 43% were severely food insecure. Additionally, 47% of the respondents reported that they had to eat smaller meals or fewer meals because there wasn't enough food in the house. These numbers underscore the severity of the impact.
Those are staggering statistics. How did these households cope with such extreme food insecurity?
Well, the coping mechanisms were varied, but often involved difficult and unsustainable choices. Many households had to rely on cheaper, less nutritious food, reduce the number of meals per day, or borrow food from friends and neighbors. around 30% of households reported borrowing food as a coping strategy, while nearly 80% had to rely on less preferred and less expensive foods. These strategies might help in the short term, but they have serious long-term consequences, including malnutrition and increased indebtedness.
It's clear that the pandemic created a crisis within a crisis for these migrants. What about remittances? Were they able to continue sending money back to their families in Zimbabwe?
Not as before. Remittances are a lifeline for many families back in Zimbabwe, and these were severely affected. Our research found that 77% of the households sent less money back home during the pandemic, and 16% were unable to send anything at all. This had a ripple effect, exacerbating the food insecurity not just in South Africa, but also for their families in Zimbabwe. The reduction in remittances is particularly concerning, because for many Zimbabwean households, remittances account for a significant portion of their income. This decline also had a profound impact on the food security of families in Zimbabwe, further highlighting the interconnectedness of migrant precarity and food insecurity across borders.
And did this situation change as the pandemic progressed?
It did. In a couple of ways, really. First, many migrants shifted their remitting away from informal channels to the use of more convenient and cheaper digital and mobile platforms. And second, despite the recovery of some employment opportunities after the initial lockdowns in 2020, the economic conditions of these households remained dire. We found that only 22% of households were able to remit frequently, with the majority sending money only a few times during the year.
Let's talk about the gendered impacts of this situation. Did the pandemic affect female Zimbabwean migrants differently from their male counterparts?
Definitely. Gender played a significant role in how the pandemic impacted Zimbabwean migrants. Women, particularly those working in domestic work, or the informal economy, were disproportionately affected. Many lost their jobs or had their working hours drastically reduced, leading to a loss of income. Additionally, women often bear the brunt of managing household food supplies, meaning they had to make incredibly tough decisions about who in the household would eat and who would go hungry. The survey indicated that nearly 60% of female-headed households experienced severe food insecurity.
It's just awful to think about the choices these women had to make. Did the pandemic also increase the risk of other forms of vulnerability for these women?
Yes, it did. The stress and tension within households due to food insecurity and job loss often led to an increase in domestic violence. Moreover, because many of these women were undocumented, they had limited access to social services or legal protection, further exacerbating their vulnerability. The pandemic also highlighted the lack of social safety nets for female migrants, who are often the most marginalized in these situations.
This brings up an important point about transnational impacts. How do the struggles of Zimbabwean migrants in South Africa reverberate back to their communities in Zimbabwe?
The struggles of Zimbabwean migrants in South Africa have a significant transnational impact. The decline in remittances not only affects the immediate family members of these migrants, but also the broader community in Zimbabwe. Many families in Zimbabwe rely on remittances for basic needs, including food, education, and healthcare. When these remittances dry up, it leads to increased poverty and food insecurity back home. This creates a vicious cycle, where the challenges faced by migrants in the host country directly impact the well-being of their families in the country of origin.
Given these challenges, what policy lessons and recommendations do you believe could effectively address these issues going forward?
There are several key policy lessons from the pandemic could help mitigate the impact of precarity on migrants now and in the future. First, there needs to be greater inclusion of migrants in social protection schemes. This includes access to unemployment benefits, healthcare, and food assistance programs. Additionally, both governments should recognize the critical role of informal markets in providing food security for migrants and ensure that these markets remain accessible during crises. Another important recommendation is to provide targeted support for female migrants, who are often the most vulnerable in these situations.
And what role can the international community play in supporting these efforts?
The international community can play a crucial role by providing funding and technical assistance to implement these policies. This could include support for programs that address both immediate needs, such as food and healthcare, as well as long-term strategies like job creation and legal support for migrants. There's also a need for better data collection on migrant populations to inform policies and ensure that interventions are effective and equitable.
It sounds like there's a lot of work to be done, but these are all achievable goals with the right commitment and resources. Before we wrap up, though, Jonathan, what would you say is the most important takeaway from today's discussion?
The key takeaway is that migrants, particularly in the global south, are among the most vulnerable populations during crises like the COVID-19 pandemic. Their experiences of precarity and food insecurity are deeply interconnected and require comprehensive, inclusive policies to address. We must prioritize the well-being of these communities if we are to build a more equitable and resilient global society.
Thank you, Jonathan, for this insightful discussion, and a special mention to Godfrey Tawadzara for his invaluable contribution to the research we discussed today. This episode of Global Perspectives on Migration and Food Security highlights the urgent need for more inclusive policies that protect the most vulnerable among us.
Thanks, Maria. It's been an important conversation, and I hope it sparks further discussion and action on these critical issues.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us. If you found this episode informative, please subscribe and leave a review. We'll be back soon with more discussions on migration and food security. Until then, take care and stay informed. This podcast was created with the assistance of ChatGPT 4.0 and Wondercraft, an AI-powered audio studio.